Even just that song, you know, I am going to preach, but just that little phrase, because of Christ, I am free. I mean, you could just get that up inside of yourself and just think about that and ask the Holy Spirit to show you what that means, and that will set you free. That will set you free. It's not some complicated, difficult thing that we're trying to understand or come to the revelation of, for the whole thing is one thing. And, you know, really, the revelation that the body of Christ is supposed to be built on is not just that Jesus is the Son of God. For many institutions that are religious believe that Jesus is the Son of God. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what the church is supposed to be built on. That's what the body of Christ is built on. The revelation of what it means that Christ became a human being. The revelation that you have sonship in Christ. And because you have sonship in Christ, now you are free to spread that message to the whole world. That the whole world has sonship and daughtership in Christ. That's the revelation that the church is supposed to be built on. And we've been talking about spiritual warfare the last couple weeks. And if anybody wasn't here last week, or if you were, I encourage you to get the CD and listen to it again. And I try to get into the habit of recommending CDs once every couple weeks, and we'll put it up there. But that will probably be the next one I put up there. I went and listened to it, and it's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. I almost had to stop it halfway through and say, man, I got to just meditate on that for a while. But it's good, and we're going to continue talking about spiritual warfare so that we can see really what it is. But, you know, God, He waged spiritual warfare from the very beginning. And the spiritual warfare was against the corrupted belief system that man took on about themselves. That's what spiritual warfare is. And Paul told us that spiritual warfare happens in the mind, okay? And that you, the weapons of your warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. They're mighty through the word God has spoken to us and about us in Christ, to the pulling down of our strongholds in our mind. They're mighty through Christ to the pulling down of our corrupted belief system about ourselves, okay? And so that's spiritual warfare. And Jesus came waging the warfare of the Father. He came waging the spiritual warfare that the Father had been waging all along, which was to come against the belief system that Satan planted in the Garden of Eden. And Satan has waged the same warfare from the very beginning. It is to deceive humanity into taking on his belief system, which is that you are defined by what you do. Okay? He deceived Adam and Eve to believe something about themselves that was not true. And so that was the stronghold that Paul says the word God has spoken to us in Christ will pull down. Okay? The whole human race had a stronghold in their brain that kept them from believing the truth about themselves. Okay? And because we couldn't believe the truth about who we were, we couldn't believe the truth about our identity or our origin, we've been walking in darkness. We've been walking in the kingdom of darkness, for our belief about ourselves was darkened by a lie. Hallelujah. And so this is spiritual warfare. And I thought today we're going to take a look at the spiritual warfare that Jesus waged. And we're going to show how Jesus waged warfare, and we're going to show what he was warring against. And we're going to expose a religious belief that is really in many circles in the church that tries to come against the very belief Jesus is trying to plant in us all. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, that your word is tearing down and rooting out and rooting up the false doctrine, the false belief about the human race. Thank you, Father, that you have put your words in my mouth, that you have put forth your hand and touched my mouth, and that the words you've put in my mouth will tear down strongholds in people's thinking and in people's hearts about who they are. They will tear down strongholds in people's thinking and people's hearts about who you are, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will resonate this truth inside of the heart of every person in this church today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And really, all these messages stemmed from, I guess, 7 weeks ago where I was hanging out with Gary and Shelley. And all of a sudden in my head, I thought, It wasn't man that was wicked. It was the belief system of man that was wicked. When God said the heart of man is wicked. And I went home that Sunday night after I preached and basically laid out all these sermons. And this is kind of the culmination of what God was leading us into. And we're going to take some scriptures that are real famous for everybody. So it'll be really good to get up inside of these scriptures and really reveal what Jesus is talking about here. Because sometimes we glance over these scriptures topically and we don't really see exactly what he's saying. But there's a whole lot that Jesus is saying in these scriptures. And it's in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 through 19. Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 and 19. For those that want to follow in their Bible, or you could follow up here. But verse 13 starts, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' He saith unto them, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.'" And so the culmination of this is we'll describe what binding and loosing really is. Because within the teaching of spiritual warfare, a lot of believers got off into this idea that we're binding demons, that we're binding demonic entities above our cities, that when you come into church, that you have to bind the devil, that when you come into church, you have to loose the Holy Spirit, as if the Holy Spirit has been bound. Guys, the Holy Spirit has been poured out onto all flesh. He is not bound. We do not need to loose him. He has been loosed by the ascension of Christ into the heavens. Okay, so we're not trying to loose the Holy Spirit, and we're not trying to bind some demon. For Jesus has already bound Satan and all of the demons. And he talked about this. He said, "How else should I plunder the house unless I have already bound the strong man?" And he says, "If I have bound the strong man and the demon has been sent out, then that is a message to you that the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Okay? And so, guys, we're not trying to bind the strong man. He's already been bound. Our binding and loosing has nothing to do with some demon. It has to do with doctrines, okay? And before I get all the way to the end, we're going to jump back to the beginning. But I know some of us that came from the charismatic movement that ended up getting a little goofy, you know, had people coming into church before church and, you know, blessing the walls and calling down God and binding all the evil spirits. Guys, Jesus bound them. Let's just walk in that truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So verse 13 says, when Jesus came in, and we're not against those people, guys. You know, I was in churches like that. Those are some of the most sincere people for the Lord. They're not evil, they're not malicious, and they're not partaking of evil, okay? They're just misinformed. But they are some of the most sincere people for the Lord that you will ever meet. And it will help believers everywhere to not start dissecting different members of the body and say, well, because they're goofy in that area, let's move them out of the way. And because they're goofy in this area, let's move them out of the way. We're all one body, okay? When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And this is a very profound scripture. And on the surface, it seems like, well, it's not really saying anything. But Jesus, notice the question Jesus asks. He doesn't just say, who do you say that I am? He makes a point to call himself the Son of Man. He says, this is going to be so good when we get to it. He says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Okay? And he calls himself the Son of Man for a very important reason. He calls himself the Son of Man because he is trying to connect his identity to the disciples' identity. And he is trying to connect their identity to his identity. For if they could never connect themselves to him, they could never believe the truth about themselves. Okay? And Jesus came to lead us, the human race, out of darkness. The only way he could lead us out of darkness was by showing us who we really are. And so he came to show us who we really are. And when we come to this revelation of who we really are, we walk out of the darkness. Okay? So people have wrongly assumed that this term, Son of Man, is a wide-known term for the Son of God. And we've connected this religious thinking to this term because we say that must be what Jesus is talking about. But that's not the truth. And when we do that, we throw out the whole meaning of this. The word Son of Man means a human being. It means a person who was born human. It means a person that is a human being, guys. There's no other way to say it. He's trying to say to them, who do you say that I, a human being, am? This is what he's asking them, okay? And he's trying to lead them into a revelation. Who do you say that I, being a human being, am? I, being a human being, just like you are a human being, who do you say that I am? This is the question he's asking them. And really, he's using a philosophical argument here because he's leading them down a path that seems innocent, and then right at the end, he's like, bam, checkmate. You know, he walks them down this path that they might not be able to go if he just hit them with the truth. But at the end of it, he hits them, and they're like, oh, wow, hallelujah. And then he says, upon this revelation will my church be built. But in the book of Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, you know, God calls Ezekiel son of man over 100 times. He calls Ezekiel son of man over 100 times. And so this term, son of man, is not a term that he's using to call himself the Messiah. It's a term he's using to tell all of us that he is a human being just like we are a human being. Okay? So this is the point that he's making, and it's very profound that we leave this in there, because if we take it out, we're going to miss it. So Jesus is trying to demonstrate his humanity to the disciples so that they can connect their identity to him, and so that he can connect his identity to theirs. Because the only way he can bring them out of the darkness is if they identify with him. Because if they don't identify with him, he can never lead them anywhere. He can go wherever he wants to go. But if they don't see themselves as the same as him, they'll never believe that's where they're going. Do you guys get that? You'll never believe that you've gone where he's gone now, which is seated at the right hand of God, if you do not believe that your identity is connected to his. Jesus called himself the Son of Man more than he called himself the Son of God, because he's trying to drive home the point. Hey, guys, I'm just like you. I am a human being just like you are a human being. Now watch what that means about human when the Father exalts me. Okay? And this is the spiritual warfare that God waged, guys. And this is the thing that's so beautiful about what God has done in Jesus. There's so many things, and so I don't say that there's just one thing, but this is so beautiful. And so they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some say that you're Elijah, others say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus says to them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So let's remember what the question is. The question is, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? Okay? It's important that we remember the original question. Jesus didn't just say, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I, a human being, the Son of Man, am? Who do you say that I am? Okay? And Peter speaks up, and Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay? There's a subtle difference, but it's of the utmost importance between Jesus saying, who am I, and who do you say that I am, the Son of Man? Because Jesus came to reveal the truth about the human race. And unless we see the human race in Jesus, we could never see the truth about the human race or ourselves. Okay, so when we throw that out, we miss the whole boat. When we throw out the part about Jesus describing himself as a human being, we miss the whole point of the whole truth, okay? Man, I think that heat's drying out my mouth. And so what God has done is he's expressed his belief about the human race in Jesus. And this isn't the first time that God expressed or described himself in the shape of a human being. When God made Adam in Genesis, he described himself, he expressed himself in the form of a human being. The Bible says that God made man in his image. That word image in Hebrew means that he made man as a representative figure of who he is. Okay? So when God had anything in the world, anything in the universe at his disposal to describe himself or to paint a picture of himself, he found nothing greater to describe himself or to paint a picture of himself than a human being. Okay? This is how God chose to describe himself. Guys, I didn't choose to describe God that way. God chose to describe himself that way. He said, "This is the expression of my image." You know, Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." Well, Jesus was a human being, guys. And I'm not saying God is a human being, but I'm trying to connect your identity, your origin, to God, because that is where you have come from. And the key to conquering the gates of hell, the darkness and the death, the purpose of Satan, is to understand and connect your identity to its true origin and to the true place that it's come from. Okay? So Peter says back to Jesus, "You, the Son of Man, a human being, you are the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God." Okay? This is a profound statement, guys, and this is the statement that got Jesus really crucified. And again, they didn't murder Jesus. He gave up his life. But they crucified Jesus for the statement that Peter just made. The statement that you, Jesus, being a human being, the Son of Man, you are the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. Now recognize, when Peter says that Jesus is the Son of the Living God, he is saying that God is his Father. Okay? Now to say that God is your Father and that you are his Son is to make yourself one with God. That statement is to make yourself one with God, guys. If you say that God is the Father and you are the Son, you're saying you're one with God. And this is the message that the Pharisees hated Jesus for. And this is the thing they thought was the most blasphemous about what Jesus did, was that he, being a man, made himself out to be one with God. Okay? And if you look at the beginning of these verses, Jesus tells the disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. Okay? And we're going to get into what he's talking about when he says that. But Jesus is trying to establish our identity. He's trying to lead us out of darkness by shining the glorious light of his life and the light of God from his face into all of our lives. Okay? You cannot be led out of the darkness unless you see that the light that Jesus came shining into the world is the light of your life. You will always be in the darkness. If you do not see that, if you do not see what he's trying to say here, you will not recognize the truth about who you are. This is so profound. But, you know, if a human being is not, and I love challenging you guys' thinking, and so one of the things the gospel does, if the true gospel is being preached, it's going to challenge your thinking. And it's going to challenge all the things you've been thinking your whole life. And that's what the gospel did from the beginning. And one of the most profound messages of the gospel is the identity and origin of the human race. This is one of the most profound messages of the gospel, guys. This is the gospel that was preached to lead us out of the darkness. This revelation of what it means that I have sonship and daughterhood in Christ. Okay? This is one of the most profound revelations. So if a human being is not an accurate representation of God or an accurate interpretation of God, then how could Jesus, who is God, remain a human being for all eternity? I'm going to say that again. If a human being is not an accurate representation or an accurate interpretation of God, how could Jesus, who is God, be a human being for all of eternity? You guys understand that? You know, Jesus is a human being. You know, when Jesus rose from the dead, he ate food with the disciples to show them that he was still a human being. He was not a spirit. He was a human being still. When Thomas didn't believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead, Jesus stood there and said, "Put your hands in my flesh," so that Thomas could see that he was still a human being. This is so critical to us, guys, because if we do not know that Christ was still a human being, or that he will forever remain a human being, we will not be able to connect our identity to the truth about human. Hallelujah. And there'll be a bowl full of stones outside afterwards if you guys want to stone me. Praise God. But this is one of the reasons why the Gospel of John was so adamant when he wrote the Gospels that Jesus was God. He was there in the beginning, but that he came in the flesh. Okay? And he said that we beheld him and we touched him. He wasn't just talking about we beheld and touched him while he was alive on the earth. He's talking about after he was raised from the dead. We beheld him and touched him. You see, Gnosticism had come in and said that Jesus was not God. That was one of the things they had said. Now, they also came in and said that Jesus was not human, that he was a spirit. Okay? They also said that when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was just a spirit being. And that he was not still flesh. Because Gnosticism got into trying to separate spirit from flesh and saying only spirit is good and everything that is human is bad. Okay? But the reason why John was so adamant about coming against that lie is because if you don't understand that Jesus was God and Jesus was a human being, you'll never be able to understand your true identity. You'll never be able to understand your true origin. Because you will not connect your identity to his. Guys, so the message that Jesus wasn't God and didn't come in the flesh, that he wasn't a human being, strips the power of the gospel. For I could never find my identity in Christ if I don't think he's a human being. And if I don't know that Christ was God, if I don't know that he is God, I can never connect my origin back to God. Which is the point of Jesus coming and becoming a human being. He's saying to all of us, you are a human being and your origin is from me. Okay? He has become a human being and he is saying to all of us that you are kind of my kind. You are the same kind of a being that I am. He is doing that so that you will know that your true identity is the same as his identity. And when you get that revelation, it leads you out of the darkness. You see, Satan came in and said, you are not like God. You are not in the image of God. And that is the lie that's come in from the beginning of time, guys. And in the church today, we are still wrestling with this truth that we're not like God. And even people that walked out of the identity teachings from 20 or 30 years ago, and those teachings help us get to where we are today. Even when I meet with those guys over the last 5 or so years, when you start getting into the truth about the human race, they become scared. And they think, oh, I don't know if I can go that far. I don't know if I can go that far. You know, one of the things that frees you to go that far is when you're not trying to build a ministry. You know, one of the things that frees you to just speak the truth is when you're not trying to build a name for yourself and you don't really care what people think about you. Hallelujah. You know, Paul didn't care what people thought about him. You know, Jesus didn't care what people thought about him. You know, Jesus said, are you going to leave now too? You know, Jesus said a bunch of things that freaked all the people out. One of them was that he was the Son of God. You know, the Bible says that the Spirit has been sent into our hearts, and what does it cry out? Does it cry out, Master, Master? No, it cries out, Abba, Abba, Daddy, Daddy. Now, if the Spirit that God has poured out into our hearts is crying out that God is our Father, then the Spirit that is in us is trying to tell us that we are one with God. That us, a human being, are one with God. Hallelujah, guys. Hallelujah. When you realize you're one with God, then you start to realize that all your characteristics, all your traits, all your attributes come from Him. All of your genetics come from Him. When you realize that you are one with God. You know, binding and loosing, just to give you guys a second. You know, Jesus declared that it was not unlawful for a human being to say that he was the Son of God or one with God. He declared that it was not unlawful. In fact, he said it's lawful to say that. And he gave us a ministry that says it's lawful to say that. Hallelujah. So Peter tells Jesus, you, the Son of Man, a human being, you are also the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God. And in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, we're going to come back to this, but notice what Jesus does here. He calls Peter Simon Barjona. Okay? And when we get to the latter verses, we're going to see he calls Peter Peter. Now, Peter is not a name that was given to Simon Barjona by his friends or his family or mankind. It's a name that Jesus gave to him, and we first see it in John chapter 1, I think verse 42. He calls Simon Peter. He says, your name is Peter, okay? And now he reveals to us what that meant, that he called Simon that. So Simon Barjona just means Simon. That's his name. Barjona, bar means son, okay? So Simon, son of Jonas, okay? So what Jesus does here is he calls Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. And really what he's saying to Peter is he's saying to Peter that blessed are you, Simon Barjona, a human being, the Son of Man. Okay? So he's calling Peter right back the Son of Man. Okay? And he says, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, you are also a human being, and you are also the Son of Man, for you are the son of Jonah. Okay? So watch this. And he says, flesh and blood hath not revealed this revelation unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, guys, remember, the revelation is not just that Jesus is the Son of God. The revelation is that Jesus, the Son of Man, is the Son of God. Okay? That's the revelation here, guys. Not just that Jesus is the Son of God. All right? It's that Jesus, the Son of Man, a human being, is the Son of God. That's the revelation he's trying to give us here. Okay? So look what he says. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. What does it mean that flesh and blood has not revealed this to Peter? What he's saying is that the wisdom of the world has not revealed this to you, Peter. For the wisdom of the world could never reveal to you that a human being, the Son of Man, is also the Son of God. Worldly wisdom could never reveal that to you, okay? In fact, worldly wisdom tells you that you are less of a being than God. Worldly wisdom defines you by the attributes of what you do. Worldly wisdom defines you by your ability to do things that are good, okay? Worldly wisdom says, take the sum total of all the good things you can do and accomplish in this life, add those things up, and that is the testimony of your life. So you can never come to the revelation that the testimony of Jesus' life is that he being the Son of Man, a human being, is also the Son of God. You can never come to that revelation through worldly wisdom. All right? And worldly wisdom is the wisdom of the Pharisees. The Pharisees, what they did was they took on a belief system that you were defined by your ability to perform fleshly ordinances. Okay, they took on a belief system that you were defined by your ability to perform the laws and the commandments. Okay, now that belief system could never lead any of us into the truth about who we are in Christ. Do you guys recognize that? In fact, that belief system will tear down the truth about who we are in Christ. And we'll always think that we're some wretched, miserable man, like Paul said, when I'm under the law, the good that I want to do, I can't do. And the bad that I don't want to do, that's the very thing that I do. And he said, because of that, I am a wretched human being. Okay? Now that is the belief system of the law. And so the law can never lead you into the revelation that Peter confesses about Jesus. And I'm going to keep reminding you guys of this. The revelation that Peter confesses about Jesus is that Jesus, being a human being, the Son of Man, is also the Son of God. Okay? And what else Jesus is saying is that you could never have come to that revelation just by looking at me in the flesh. Okay? You could never have determined that Jesus is the Son of God, the Son of Man, just by looking at him in the flesh. Lots of people saw Jesus in the flesh and saw him even perform miracles and didn't believe he was the Messiah. Lots of people rejected Jesus as the Messiah, even though they witnessed him performing miracles. Okay, so Jesus is saying, you cannot make the determination that I, the Son of Man, am also the Son of God by what you see in the flesh. Now, this is a revelation to all of us human beings, because all of us human beings, we look at ourselves in the flesh to try and determine whether or not we are the Son of God or the daughter of God. Do you guys realize that? We look at what we see in the flesh to determine if we are the children of God. Okay? Well, Jesus says you cannot come to the revelation that you, being the Son of Man, a human being, are also the child of God by looking at yourself in the flesh. You can never come to that revelation. This is what Satan got human beings to believe in the beginning. And so they couldn't believe that they were the very image and expression of God. So Jesus says this revelation cannot come through flesh and blood or the wisdom of the world. It can only come from my Father which is in heaven. Okay? You cannot learn this revelation by looking at our flesh, guys. It's just not possible. And this gets back to what Jesus says in the beginning here. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Okay? He says, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees, because the doctrine of the Pharisees will keep you from ever coming to the true revelation of your origin and identity. The doctrine of the Pharisees will prevent you from ever walking out of the darkness and seeing the truth about who you are. So he says, beware of that doctrine, for it will never be able to reveal to you that you, the Son of Man, a human being, are the sons and daughters of God. Okay? This is what he says to you. Now, notice that Jesus said, I think it's in Matthew 23, maybe, where Jesus said that, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for you shut up the kingdom of God unto men. You shut up the kingdom of God to mankind. You neither enter in, and you don't let them enter in. Now, how did they keep them from entering the kingdom of God? Because they kept them in the dark about who they really were by preaching a message that was based on worldly wisdom and kept people from believing that them being the Son of Man, a human being, made them also the sons and daughters of God. This is how they shut up the kingdom of heaven to all of the people, guys. This is the revelation that the church is supposed to come to, and this is the revelation that every human being is supposed to come to. So flesh and blood can't reveal this, but my Father, which is in heaven. And what God did with the Pharisees, the doctrine of the Pharisees, what he did was he sent Jesus and he made foolish the wisdom of the world about the human race. Okay, you see, mankind had a place that they reasoned from about themselves, and it was the wisdom of the world. Now, God sent Jesus, and Jesus became the wisdom of God about the human race. You guys understand that? Jesus is the wisdom of God about human. He is what God believes about human. Okay? And when he said that he made foolish the wisdom of the world, he made foolish the wisdom of the world that defines human by what they do and what they have by sending Jesus and defining human by Jesus. You see how that makes the wisdom of the world foolish? It makes the concept that mankind can be defined by what they do or what they have or their ability to perform laws and commandments. It makes that wisdom foolish. It stomps on that doctrine because it says this is the only wisdom about mankind right here in the body of Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the wisdom of God. That's spiritual warfare. That's the warfare Jesus came fighting. So verse 18 says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Okay, now this word, and I had to go through and write a bunch of this, so I'm going to read some of this to you so I can get it right, the breakdown of these words. But this word also in Greek, it's a very interesting word. It doesn't mean in the context here that, Peter, you said something to me, now I'll say something back to you. Okay, when it says, and I also say unto thee, Jesus, that word also means, I will also say back to you the same thing that you just said to me. Okay? Did you guys hear that? Jesus says, you have just testified something about me, And now I am going to testify of the same thing back to you. Okay? So watch what this sounds like. You, in saying that I, the Son of Man, a human being, are the Son of the living God, have called me by a name that is expressive of my true identity. And I also will now call you, the Son of Man, by a name that is expressive of your true identity. Okay? So Peter said something to Jesus. He said, you, the Son of Man, a human being, you are the Son of the living God. Okay? So Peter expressed the truth about who Jesus really was. And now Jesus says to Peter, I will say back to you the same thing that you have just said to me, that you, Peter, the Son of Man, are also the Son of the living God. Okay? Peter is a son of the living God. Okay? And so Jesus says to him, I'm going to say back to you the same thing. So Jesus says, as you have expressed your testimony of me, that I, the Son of Man, a human being, am the Son of the living God, even so, in return, I bear the same testimony of you, that you, Simon Bar-Jonah, the Son of Man, are a human being, are the Son of the living God, and are cut from the same rock that I'm cut from. Some of you are thinking, how do you do that? How do you say that, Greg? Okay? So look what he does now. Now when he, notice the two different times, he calls Peter first Simon Bar-Jonah. So what he does is he acknowledges that Peter is a human being. Okay? He acknowledges that Peter is the Son of Man. All right? And now down here, he calls Peter, Peter. Okay? Peter in the Greek means Petros. And it means piece of a rock. It means piece of a stone. It means sliver of a rock. Okay? You know, the Bible is laden with analogies of God being the rock. God being the rock. Guys, there's hundreds of scriptures that call God the rock. And I'm just going to quote one of them to you. Deuteronomy 32, verse 18. Moses speaking to the children of Israel about God and about them. He says, of the rock that begot you. And the rock is God. And he's telling them, of the rock that has begotten you. So he's making the point that the children of Israel were brought forth. They find their lineage from God. That word begot in Hebrew is a direct and specific reference to lineage. Okay? So Moses is making the point that the children of Israel, they were cut from the rock, which is God. Okay? So Jesus, in speaking to Peter here and now calling him a piece of a stone, a piece of the rock, is saying to Peter that he has been begotten from God also. So look, at the beginning of what Jesus says, he says, who am I, the Son of Man? And Peter says, you, the Son of Man, a human being, you are the Son of God. And Jesus says to Peter, now I will also say back to you the same thing that you have just said to me. You are Simon Bar-Jonah, the Son of Man, a human being. And you are also cut from the same rock that I have been cut from. And so that makes you the same as me. You are also a son of God. This is the message that Jesus came preaching into the world, guys. Preaching the origin of human. Preaching the origin of the human race. He's trying to tell us that we are cut from the same stone that he is cut from. And he tells us this by showing us that he is like us, a human being, just like we are a human being, and he is the Son of God. And because we are just like him, and we are cut from the same stone, we are also sons and daughters of God. Now, Satan came in saying you're not. He came in saying you're not the son and daughter of God, that you're not in the image of God. And this was the doctrine of the Pharisees. The Pharisees preached this doctrine that you were not the child of God, but if you do all these things, maybe you can become the child of God. And you know what happens when you preach that message? No one ever believes they're the child of God because everybody looks at themselves and realizes they can't do it. I can never do it. And you know, it gets to the degree where you become so religious about your thinking that you won't even say the word God. You know, the Jewish people won't even say God. They won't even write G-O-D. because they think it's blasphemy. Guys, and I meet grace people all over the world that come from all over the world that want to say that I'm not in any legalism and I'm not religious at all. Yet any time somebody gets up and starts talking about you, a human being, are also the child of God, and that Jesus is here telling him the same revelation back to him that he just said to Jesus, everybody gets real freaked out. What are you saying, Greg? Yeah, I'm saying exactly what it sounds like I'm saying. And I didn't say it. Jesus said it. Go look up this word also. It means that I will say back to you the very same thing that you just said to me. That's what it means, guys. Now, what did Peter say to Jesus? That Jesus, being the Son of Man, a human being, is also the Son of God. A human being was the Son of God, guys. And so now Jesus says back the same thing to Peter to establish Peter's identity in the fact that he is a Son of God. Hallelujah. That is so awesome when you realize what he says. Now look what Jesus says. And upon this rock I will build my church. Now, what rock? He's not building the church on Peter. He's building the church on a revelation. Okay? Now, he's not just building the church on the revelation that he is the Son of God, guys. I hate to break it to you. That won't lead the church anywhere. Because unless the church can realize that it's Christ in them, they're not going anywhere. There's no rock. There's no firm foundation. And if Jesus was saying that I'm only building the church on the foundation that I'm the Son of God, why didn't he say it before he told Peter that Peter was cut from the same stone that he was cut from? Jesus could have said, I will build my church upon this revelation before he told Peter what he told Peter. But he didn't. He said it after, guys. Because he cannot build his church except upon the revelation that us being human beings are also the sons and the daughters of God. That is the revelation that Jesus came to build his church on. That's the revelation, guys. We're trying to rip the revelation out of what these scriptures are actually talking about. There is no revelation if you don't realize what it means about you that Jesus is God and that Jesus is a human being. If you don't realize what that means about you, there is no revelation. And now you're not free to preach the truth. This is the revelation that Paul had. You know, Paul said, when I came to the revelation of my sonship in Christ, when I came to the revelation of what it meant that Christ was in me, immediately I did not talk with flesh and blood. Immediately I separated myself from human beings. Why? Because every human being is going to try and tell you that's blasphemous. Every human being is going to try and tell you that can't be true. So Peter said, immediately when I received this revelation of Christ in me, which is that I am a son of God, that I, being a human being, am also a son of God. As soon as he got that revelation, he says he separated himself from flesh and blood. You know, and he went and sat by himself for 3 years. He said, immediately I did not confer with flesh and blood because I don't want to hear what flesh and blood has to say about this revelation. For flesh and blood can never lead you to this revelation. It will only try to lead you away from this revelation. That's what flesh and blood will do to you. It will try to lead you away from this revelation. Guys, this is why, just to cover it again, this is why John was so adamant about Jesus being God, because Jesus was a human being. If you can't believe Jesus was God and Jesus was a human being, you can't see your true origin. And so Jesus says to Peter, yes, I am a human being, but I am also the Son of God. And I am cut from the rock of God. I find my origin, my identity, and my true character from God. And you, Peter, you're the same as me. You're a human being also. And you are a son of the living God. And you have been cut from the same rock that I have been cut from. So all your attributes, all your characteristics, and all your traits, they come from God also, not from your flesh. This is the revelation that the church is going to be built on, guys. And this is why, when you look at the church over the last 1,500 years, you see a church floundering. You'd see a church that needs, what do they call it, floaties? So they don't drown? You need a church that needs floaties so they don't drown. Because they don't want to hear this revelation. They don't want to hear that this is the truth. And they want to kill everybody who says that this is the truth. I'm just going to read this verse in John. John chapter 10 just comes to my mind real quick. John chapter 10. John chapter 10, around verse 29 maybe. John chapter 10, verse 29. This is Jesus talking to the Pharisees. John chapter 10, verse 29. Remember, John's gospel is all about the fact that Jesus was a human being and Jesus was also God. John's gospel is all about that. Go back and read it. And look what John says. This is Jesus. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Then the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. That's why they wanted to stone him, guys. Because him being a man called himself the Son of God. He made himself out to be one with God. Guys, by saying that you are a son and daughter of God, you are saying that you are one with God. That is the truth of the gospel. That is the revelation that Jesus says, I will build my church on. That is the revelation that will not be preached in the church because people are afraid. You know what's funny? When I was looking at this and planning this, and I know you, most of you guys have been in grace for a long time. You know, in my brain, all of a sudden, Satan's trying to come to tell me, you cannot preach that message. No one will come back. No one will come back if you tell them that Jesus said the same thing back to Peter that Peter said to him. They will think that you are blaspheming God. You know, I actually contemplated that for a second and thought, well, I got to preach something else then. And you know, all of a sudden, it hit me. The truth is the truth. And I'm just going to preach it, whether or not people come back or not. Whether or not it freaks them out to think of themselves and to identify with Christ, that is the problem in the church. We believers everywhere have this problem connecting themselves to Christ. And it's because we've built this wall of separation that has its roots in religion. And we refuse to see the truth about who we really are because religion has told us it's blasphemy. That's the doctrine of the Pharisees, guys. That's what Jesus said, beware of this doctrine. For it will try to prevent you from believing the truth that you are the God kind. That you are the same kind of a being that I am. That your origin is from me. That human being comes from me. It is not an evil, wicked, despicable thing. It is the pure expression of myself. So how can it be evil and wicked? Hallelujah. You know, and I talked to Becky about it, and you know, I said, well, whether it freaks anybody out or not, it's the truth. So onward we go. Onward we go. Onward we go. You know, what's interesting is we all think that we're being humble by not taking it this far. We convince ourselves it's humility. Well, it's humility to make myself less than God. You know, and whenever somebody says, but, you know, whenever I get into telling somebody about who they are in Christ, when I'm talking to other pastors, yeah, but, you know, that's always signaling what they really think after the but. You know, they say they agree with you, but, and then they say what they really think, right? So whenever you start getting into somebody about the truth of the human race, the origin of the human race, that mankind has come from God, that our genos is from God, you always get, yeah, but. And that's why the church has needed floaties for 1,500 years, because of the yeah, but. Because we refuse to accept it. Because we think we're being humble. We think it's humility that causes us to reject it. Do you know, it isn't Jesus that's ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. It's us that are ashamed to call him our brother. Because when you call Jesus your brother, really what you're saying is that you're one with him. You're on an equal playing field. Isn't that what you're saying? When you call Jesus your brother, you see, Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brother and sister. We're the ones that have been taught we should be ashamed for thinking that. You guys saw how immediately the devil was trying to tell me I should be ashamed of myself for preaching this message? I'd known this is the truth forever. But as I'm there, putting it all out and making my notes, the devil comes in and tries to tell me you should be ashamed for thinking that.
Do you know why? Because he doesn't want the stronghold to be torn down. He wants me to remain in the darkness. And he doesn't want me preaching the Jesus that was sent to lead everybody else out of the darkness. He wants to leave them there. He doesn't want them to see that their origin is from God. He doesn't want them to see that human is the son and daughter of God. You know, if you think horrible things about human beings, you're going to walk around in darkness the rest of your life. Guys, when Jesus comes back, you know, it says in the Bible at the end in Revelations, I think it's chapter 21, "Behold, my tabernacle is with man." You know, Jesus is going to walk amongst us as a human being. Do you guys understand that? And Jesus is God. He's going to walk among us as a human being, guys. And he's going to be forever testifying of what he thinks about human. That's good, man. That's good news. So look what Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11 says. "For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren." Now, who is it that sanctified us? Christ. Christ is our sanctification. Who is it that's been sanctified? All of us. Okay? Look what it says. We are all of one. That word "of" is the Greek word "ek," and it means origin. Our origin comes from the same place. The person who has sanctified us, Christ, and us, a human being, our origin is from the same thing. We come from the same place, guys, that Jesus came from. And so he says, because of this, because our origin is from the same place, because we are cut from the very stone, the very rock that he is cut from, he is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. He's not ashamed, guys. Why are we? Why is the church ashamed to say this? Why is the church ashamed to say this is the truth? You know, that word "ashamed" means disgraced. He doesn't feel like it lessens his value and worth to call himself a joint heir with all of you. He doesn't feel like it lessens his value and worth to say that he is one with you and to make himself equal with you. He doesn't think that that lessens who he is. We've got this idea that it does. Where did that idea come from? Can anybody find it in the Bible? This belief, guys, that we're not equal and one with Jesus, that we're not his brothers and sisters, comes from Satan. You know, the Bible says that we're joint heirs with Christ. Equal. That word "joint" means equal heirs with Christ. Guys, that does not mean that I ascended the hill with the cross and died on the cross for your sins. That's not what it means. But what it means is that I am in the family. You see, I have a seat at the table. I'm not in the back room or underneath the table trying to get crumbs. I have a seat at the table. I have a seat in the Godhead because I am the brother of Jesus, which makes me a son of God. And I am also a human being. This is what Jesus was teaching us, guys. Hallelujah. This will set you free. And this is what the Pharisees wanted to stone Jesus for saying that he was one with the Father. But he came as a human being to tell us that so that we could see that we, a human being, are one with the Father. There is no separation between us and the Father. If you don't understand that about yourself, man, you'll never participate in his quality of life while you're on this earth. You'll always feel separated from his quality of life. So verse 18 says, he says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Shall not prevail against what? The revelation that human being is the son and daughter of God. That human being finds its origin from God. That human being finds its identity in God. The gates of hell will not be able to prevail against it. Now, what are the gates of hell? It's the darkness and the death. It's the purpose of Satan, okay, to keep us in the dark, to keep us separated from God, and to keep us from believing that we are the God kind. This is the purpose of Satan. And his purpose cannot stand against the revelation that you, a human being, are also the son and the daughter of God. And because you are the son and daughter of God, you are one with God. Satan's purpose cannot stand against this revelation. For the revelation of your origin coming from God, it releases light into your life. It illuminates your life with the life and the light of Christ. And the darkness and the death cannot stand against that light. Hallelujah. This is how he has delivered us from spiritual death, guys. You know, spiritual death, if you notice, God said, in the day that you eat from the tree, you shall surely die. Now, they didn't drop physically dead, did they? They died spiritually. The reason why they died spiritually is because they partook of a life that was born from toil and self-effort. And that kind of a life, God called death. Okay? And because they partook of a life that is born from toil and self-effort, they defined themselves by what they did. And because they defined themselves by what they did, their value and worth kept getting decreased in their mind. Every time they failed, every time they blew it, they kept getting further and further away from the truth of who they were, which was God. They are from God. You see that mindset? That's why that mindset's called being spiritually dead, guys. And so the gates of hell cannot prevail against the revelation that you are the God kind. That, yes, you are a human being, but human being is good. Human being is not bad. For it has come from God, and it is the very expression and representation of who God is. The Bible says Jesus came to interpret God to all of us. Well, guess what he showed up as? A human being. He showed up as a human being, guys. That'll twist up your theology right there. God could find no better way to express himself yet again except in the form of a human. So God had a do-over, if you want to say. He made man in his image, and if he didn't think that man still described who he was, then why did he become a man himself? You see, God still believed that man was his image and his glory, but we didn't believe it. And so we were in the dark. And so he became a human being, and he led us out of the dark and said, this is what I've always thought about human. Can you believe it's the truth? The identity of human beings, guys, that the gospel is trying to show us, and that's what leads us out of the darkness when we see the truth about this. So he says, I will give them the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now, binding and loosing, well, first notice what he says, he'll give them the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does it mean that he's going to give them the keys of the kingdom of heaven? It means that the revelation that Peter, a human being, is also a son of God, that revelation is going to open up the kingdom of heaven to all human beings. The revelation of sonship and daughterhood in Christ opens up the kingdom of heaven to the human race, guys. Because when you realize that's the truth about yourself, now you start preaching that truth to everybody else, and you open up the kingdom of heaven to everybody. See, the Pharisees and Satan had the keys, and they had shut everybody out because they were preaching a doctrine that kept people from believing the truth about their identity, that kept people from believing the truth about their origin. And they stoned people for saying the truth about who they were. Jesus, a human being, said that he was one with God, and they crucified him. They stoned Paul for saying the same thing. Stephen, you know, when they were getting angry with Stephen, do you know the stones didn't get picked up and grabbed to be thrown until Stephen said, behold, I see the clouds parting and I see the glory of God and the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Father. And that's when it says that they lost it. They lost it because Stephen said, I see the glory of God, the opinion of God about mankind, and it is seated at the right hand. And that's when they lost it and picked up stones and threw him outside of the camp and stoned him to death. Go back and read that account in Acts chapter 7. He doesn't say, I see the Messiah. Why would the Pharisees have a problem with him saying, I see the Messiah seated at the right hand? That doesn't mean something bad to them. They believed in a Messiah. But Stephen said, I see the Son of Man. He was acknowledging that Jesus is risen from the dead, and Jesus is still a human being, seated at the right hand of God, forever testifying of the only truth about the human race. This is the spiritual warfare, guys, that's going on. We're being warred against this belief about who we really are. Okay? This is the warfare Jesus came warring right here. And he says Satan's warfare, the gates of hell, cannot stand up against the revelation that a human being is the son and daughter of God. Their origin and their identity comes from me. Hallelujah. So binding and loosing. Binding and loosing is talking about doctrine. And it was real famous and popular in the Jewish times amongst rabbis. And so what they would say is, if they didn't believe in a doctrine, they would bind it. And if they did believe in a doctrine, they would loose it. Okay? And more accurately, bind means to declare something to be unlawful. Loose means to declare something to be lawful. Okay? So back in Jesus' time, let's say there's a rabbi named Hillel, and we'll call him Rabbi Hillel. If Rabbi Hillel did not believe that it was lawful to pick up sticks on the Sabbath, Rabbi Hillel would bind picking up sticks on the Sabbath. He would bind it, okay? Now, let's say there's Rabbi Shamaliel. Rabbi Shamaliel, if he believed that it was lawful to pick up sticks on the Sabbath, then he would loose picking up sticks on the Sabbath. He would say that it's okay. It's okay to do, okay? Now, this verse, it says, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven, is not saying that whatever we loose on earth will then become loosed in heaven. That's not what it's saying, guys. For if I run around and declare the doctrine of Satan to be lawful, God is not going to agree with that. It doesn't matter what I say. Okay? Do you guys understand that? It's like we have this idea, whatever I bind here on earth, it's going to then be bound in heaven. No, it's the other way around. Whatever Jesus has already bound in heaven, you can then bind on earth. Okay? And I'm going to read this from the Amplified so we can see this more clearly, because it's actually translated pretty good in the Amplified version. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, declare to be lawful on earth, must be what is already loosed in heaven. Okay? So binding and loosing, guys, has to do with doctrine. All right? And so as a minister, or as anybody that has Christ in you, you are binding the false doctrine and you are loosing the correct doctrine. You are declaring the wrong doctrine to be unlawful and you are declaring the proper doctrine to be lawful. That's what I do every Thursday and Sunday. Okay? It's not some demon that I'm binding and loosing. All right? So look what Jesus has done. He has declared that it is lawful for a human being to be seated in the Godhead. Jesus has declared that it is lawful for a human being to have a seat inside of the Trinity. So now I am going to declare that that is lawful. Jesus has declared in heaven that you are complete in Him and that you are not complete in the law system. Okay? He has declared that it is lawful that you are right with God. So I am going to declare that it is lawful that you are right with God. Jesus has bound the belief system that you are right with God by performing laws and commandments. So I am going to bind the belief system that we're right with God by what we do. That's what binding and loosing is. I'm going to declare that belief to be unlawful. The concept that I'm blessed by God because I have given a certain percentage of my money has been declared unlawful in heaven. And so I declare it to be unlawful here on earth. Okay? The blessing comes from Christ, not from what I do. And that's what we're declaring to be lawful and unlawful. So the spiritual warfare, guys, waged by Satan is to bind our minds to the truth about our origin and our identity. That's what he's doing. And he does this through unbelief, which is the belief in the flesh. Because the more you believe in yourself and what you do, the more you will become blinded to your true identity and your true origin. Okay? So in order to keep us, he does this in order to keep us from seeing the glorious light that God has shown in our lives in the face of Jesus. And this is why Jesus' face shone on the Mount of Transfiguration. Because he was showing us what God thought of human. He was shining the light about the identity of the human race. Guys, hallelujah. So when the veil is removed through the preaching of the gospel, we are transformed in our belief into his likeness. You see, you start to believe in your heart that you are in the likeness of God, that you are his son and daughter, that you are the same kind of a being that he is. And when you start believing that and your belief starts becoming transformed by the truth, then the truth can then start manifesting in your life. That's what we're trying to have happen, guys. The veil has to be removed first. And the veil cannot be removed unless you tell human beings who they really are. And that's what Jesus did with Peter. Jesus led Peter out of the darkness about who he was. Remember what Peter said to Jesus? "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Remember when Peter said that to Jesus? You see, Peter was finding his identity in what he did. Now Jesus has come in and he gives him the revelation that you, Peter, a human being, you are not a sinful man. You are a son of the Most High God. You are cut from the same rock that I am cut from. I am removing your sins. Hallelujah. You know, people get upset when you say that, but how did Jesus declare people's sins forgiven when he hadn't died on the cross yet? You guys ever thought about that? Those of you that like to study the Bible? How did Jesus tell people their sins were forgiven when he hadn't died on the cross yet? You ever wondered that? How did he tell them their sins were forgiven? That's just something for you to think about, man. That's just something for you to go home and think about. But Jesus is declaring to Peter the truth about his identity. That truth led him out of the darkness. And this is the truth that the church is supposed to be built on. Now, the word church in Greek is ecclesia. And it does not mean a building or a structure. Now, this is the church because this is where we have come together to meet. And because we are here, it is the church. But you know, that word church is very interesting. It means to be called out from the world. So Jesus says, I will build my church. I will build the church, on those that have been called out from the world. Well, where is it that you're called out from the world? You're called out from the belief about yourself that you're defined by what you do. You've been called out from the darkness to believe the truth about your identity, about the origin of the human race. That's what the church is. And that's why the church is established on this revelation. Not the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, the revelation that Jesus, the Son of a human being, the Son of man, is God, and the revelation that us, also being a human being, are also the sons and daughters of God. That's the revelation that the church was built on, guys, and that's how you're called out from the world. Jesus called Peter out from the world by showing him who he really was. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope that made sense, and I probably didn't do it justice. But I just have to say this one more time so it gets stuck, maybe just in my head. But just to quote verse 18 more accurately again, Jesus speaking to Peter says, "You insane that I, the Son of Man, a human being, am the Son of the living God, have called me by a name that is expressive of my true identity. I also say back to you that you, Simon Barjona, the Son of Man, a human being, are Peter. You are a piece of a rock brought forth from the same rock that I was brought forth from, which is God. And in calling you by that name, I have now called you by a name that is expressive of your true identity." And that's what these verses are talking about, guys. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you have declared unlawful the message that we are defined by what we do. Thank you, Jesus, that you have declared lawful that human beings have a seat in the Godhead. Thank you, Jesus, that you have seated us in the Godhead, that you have declared it lawful for a human being to say that he is one with you and one with God. Thank you, Jesus, that you have declared the message that says human beings are separated from God, that human beings are not one with God. Thank you, Jesus, that you have declared that message unlawful. Thank you, Jesus, that you have given us the authority to declare the same thing in this earth, and that this message is the message that the church will be built on. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If anybody needs prayer, here we are.